My name is George Knapp, and tonight for George Nori, we're talking about missing persons and possibly serial killers. As I mentioned in the earlier part of the first hour, the FBI set up this task force to look at truckers who may be serial killers prowling the nation's highways and picking off victims. That task force is not very forthcoming in dealing with media folks like myself, so they don't answer a whole lot of questions. They're designed to help law enforcement, like my guest Curtis Kull. But I did manage to obtain a map that the FBI had prepared, and it's a map of missing persons suspected of being victims of serial killers. And for this area, this part of I-80 that we're talking about, the FBI has 9 suspected cases. We're looking at 3 in particular tonight, but obviously the FBI has more resources. They think it could be bigger. As Curtis Kull and Jim Carnes have both concluded, it could be much, much bigger. And we're trying to get to the bottom of it. A lot of suggestions coming in over the last couple of minutes from Coast to Coast listeners. Some excellent information. A truck driver named Johnny McCall says he looked at the picture that's on the website. It's a trailer. It's a 53-foot reefer. May look like a Wabash. It has a reefer vent door for inspection on the right trailer door. On the left, it has a "How is my driving" sticker with a 1-800 number. The plate is an apportioned license, he said. Can't make out the state, though. That's the kind of information that we need. It boils it down for us a little bit. A lot of suggestions of what the name of that company might be. It's all going to help Curtis Kull as he tries to sort this out and trying to bring some sort of resolution to Jim Carnes and his family. We're going to the phones right after this on Coast to Coast AM. I can tell you right now, Jim Carnes and Curtis Kull, that our hopes that the Coast to Coast audience would come through are being met. We're getting a lot of information. I hope some of it turns out to be helpful for you, but it seems to. I'm just reviewing some of it here. It looks like it might help you whittle things down just a little bit. Let's find out what people have on their minds on the phone lines. Wildcard Nate in Kearney, Nebraska. Hi, Nate.
Hello. I missed the part. This is an interesting image, and I was just curious, how do we know this is a potential suspect? I missed that. I'm right in the heart of I-80 in central Nebraska, and this kind of worries
well, this,
me a little bit.
There's a dash cam video from a highway patrol trooper. It caught the missing man as he went by, and he was trailing right behind this truck. When the trooper caught up to him, he in fact appeared to be traveling in tandem with the truck. And the missing man even said on audio that he was traveling with this trucker heading toward Elko.
Oh, wow. Okay. Well, thanks for looking into this, guys.
Okay. Wildcard Sam in Long Beach, California. Hi, Sam.
Hi, guys. I was just kind of going back. We traveled, and it was about the people up there. We were traveling up to Idaho, and we had left San Bruno, California, going across the 80. We got past Reno, and it just stuck in my head when they were saying Winnemucca and Battle Mountain, because there's one of the weirdest things that's ever happened to me in my life is that me, my wife, and my young daughter, who's an infant, we pulled in to just a little gas station, got out, there was like 5 or 6 people, and they just stared. It was like a twilight zone, like they were looking right through us, and they looked really, really like creepy and like kind of baffled, and they had to go to the bathroom, and I followed them in and made sure that their women's one was cleared, had them all go in there and stood guard. And when they came out, we just got the heck out of there and took off. And we just kept going until we got down closer to the 15. But that area, I mean, just the looks that they had, it was, I don't know, we're not strange looking by any manner. It was just really, really weird. And I don't know if you have, like, the attitude of people when you were speaking with them there, do they just seem in that some areas they're just really spaced out? I mean, they were just, they all look like they were out of there, like in a trance or something, these people. It was really creepy.
Well, that would seem unusual. I've been up and down that highway and been in those towns a lot, and just great people all along the way. You obviously had a different experience. Curtis, let me rephrase Sam's point there. Do you have suspects in the local area? Do you have people that are just kind of creepy?
Oh, I think probably any community has those that you kind of wonder about. I know, once a year we have the big Burning Man event that's up in the Black Rock from here, and sometimes I know some people locally or passing through or whatever might not be used to some of the folks and the way they look, as they're going to a Burning Man event, so maybe they're not familiar or feel unusual around those folks. You know, it's hard to tell.
Understood. Sam, thanks for the call. Steve in Highland Mills, New York. Steve, what's on your mind?
Good evening, gentlemen. Thank you for taking my call. Jim, I hope my condolences for your father. I hope everything works out, sir. You're welcome. My questions are for Undersheriff Cole, and maybe he can use his FBI sources, if he has any, to help him open up some new leads. Do you know of any connections to the Smiley Face murders or any cult activity or any devil-worshipping activity in that area of I-80 in Nevada?
Not that we've been made aware of. And I believe that that Smiley Face instance you were talking about is actually a bombing or explosive type situation that was brought to an end with an arrest.
Yeah, their MO. Okay, I didn't know their MO was more of a college age young men, but I didn't know if maybe they expanded their nefarious ways. But just didn't know if I could open up any leads or if you had any just trying to give you any questions. Maybe you can ask any FBI sources or anything like that, sir.
No, we sure appreciate
I hope
it.
This all. Sure, I hope this all turns out well. Thank you, gentlemen.
Thanks, Steve. Curtis, are you getting some help from the FBI? Or is this task force talking to you?
Yes. Actually, somebody from behavioral science is working with me.
Like to do a profile?
Yeah, actually what they're going to do, well, the unfortunate thing, George, is we really don't have enough. With this isolated case, we don't have enough, what I'm being told, for a specific profile. But what they're able to do is, since the task force deals with interstate crimes that they're looking at, they are going to be able to help us with also doing a lot very similar to what we're doing this evening, is getting that message out to trucking organizations and contacts nationwide that may be able to help us.
Jim Carnes, I know that you had told me you and your family listen to Coast to Coast. You know about the program, so you know the kind of topics that we discuss here, psychics, remote viewing. Have you thought of going that route?
I have been, George, it's funny you bring that up. I've been to two psychics, which both of them really don't like getting into missing person cases. They've given hints, which we have tried to follow up on. But the psychics, we've been to, and I'm open to anything, any help at all.
And Curtis, I was the same true for you. I mean, you don't want to be the department that relies on psychics to solve crime, but I would think you'd be open to whatever.
Jim has called me, George, and given me information that he's gotten from psychics. And to be honest, what we do is, all solid leads and real concrete things that we can run down. We run down initially, but as this gets longer, I mean, last Wednesday marked 10 weeks since Pat was last seen by anybody that we know of, and just like Jim, I agree with him. I mean, if somebody gives me something to run down or a location to check, that's what we'll do.
I'll tell you what, we've had some people on this program, remote viewers trained by the U.S. government to work on national security issues. We need to maybe get one of those involved, not just a psychic, but somebody trained in the protocols of remote viewing to take a look at this. And I'll tell you what, I'll see what I can do about setting that up. East of the Rockies, Glenn in Texas. Hi, Glenn. How you doing?
Hey, George. I don't know if this may pertain to this particular case. I can just offer this as a possibility. But I've worked in Mexico, and some of the communities, some areas of Mexico are still very primitive. And we've had several cases of abduction, torture, and death that's involved with occult religious practices. I can only suggest that maybe trucks from Mexico and that may have played some part. Just a possibility. Just throwing that out there.
Is Interstate 80, Curtis, is that you get a lot of international trucking going through there?
Not as much as national because, basically you can take 80 from all the way from California straight across the country. But obviously there are other highways, like with Las Vegas, when, when you venture up here, it's not that difficult at all to come up here and grab 80. And then right here through Winnemucca, we also, they kind of call the town here the crossroads. We have 80, you know, bisecting the county, and then we have another one going straight up 95, going straight up into Oregon and then into Idaho. So we're pretty centrally located here for interstate and interstate travel.
When these days of political correctness, all you really have to do is take a look online to see what goes on in Mexico, and it's just horrific. I don't even like to speak of such things, but y'all have seen it.
Glenn, appreciate the call. Appreciate the idea. West of the Rockies, Bill in California. Hi, Bill.
Hi, George. I'm calling from Humboldt County, California, listening on KKOH, home of Ross Mitchell in Reno, Nevada, 780. And a couple of points. I have a missing person story that I think rings true with what you've laid out. But before I get into that, you've probably heard this breaking news about a semi-truck which rammed an Amtrak California Zephyr going from Chicago to California outside of Reno around Lovelock. Could it be that the driver of the semi-truck knows that you're on to him and did this as his final act of murder? There's at least 5 dead. They suspect more people were killed in smoke because of the burning aspect of the train. And I'm just laying that out as a possibility to look into, because that's breaking news. I saw it on the evening news tonight, the 11 o'clock news. And I wanted to run that by you, but who knows? It's a weird story, and if somebody knew that their time was up, they might have wanted to take out a bunch of people in their end opportunity. This missing person, his name is Robert Firestone. He used to walk between Redway and Garberville, which is the Highway 101 major transport for truckers in Northern California to Eureka and on up to Oregon. And it's accessed by Highway 20 to I-80 or through the Bay Area. So there's a lot of transport of goods through this area. This guy liked to hitchhike. He was an 82-year-old gentleman who used to walk back and forth between these two communities and was friendly and would take a ride with somebody. Convenient for a predator of this nature, because they wouldn't have had to ditch a car. And let's not forget that a trucker could also be a woman. A lot of times people will assume it's a guy, and a woman will get away with something for a long time because they aren't looking in that gender direction. Also,
Bill, could you give me the name of this guy again, the walking guy?
Yes, his name is Robert Firestone, like the tires. And he's actually on the KMUD, K-MUD. Yeah, it's mud for the rivers that run mud in this time of year. K-MUD radio website, kmud.org. And he's in their missing persons zone. But the fact that it's on a major highway, I just think that even though he didn't drive, being a friendly person and would tend to be picked up and take rides, might have just gone for a ride somewhere. We even checked the Veterans Hospital, because he was a World War II vet, in Reno to see if maybe he had taken a trip to, you know, have fun at the casinos or Lake Tahoe and ended up there. So we've looked all over, search teams, professionals, sheriffs. Nobody has been able to find him. So there's been a thorough search. And he disappeared about April 25th, which is about
Holy
the
cow.
Time frame of
wow.
what you're talking about. So that's why I thought it was important. And also, quickly, the back of that truck with that 1-800 number, that'll get you right to the company that that truck worked for. The dispatch and manifest logs will tell you when and where, based on where that truck was, who it was, and what they were driving.
Well, you're right, Bill. We can't quite make it out, but really appreciate the information on this this walking guy. That's really interesting, especially given the time frame. Curtis,
right.
Thank you for the call, Bill. Appreciate it. Curtis, talk about GPS systems in trucks. Now, you obviously, if you could figure out what the company is, you could figure out what trucks were in that vicinity on that night, right?
Yeah, and that's what I've been told. I really don't have I don't have any trucking background whatsoever. I've been in law enforcement my whole adult life, but I have been told that a lot of these units are GPSed, and exactly what the last caller said too. It also runs down to the manifests. I mean, these companies know what rigs they have out there at what times. So really, again, it's just the hunt to try to identify what the name of that specific company is on the back of this truck. And I, I think if we get that, then through manifests and other records, we'll be able to track down, you know, with pretty certain specificity what rig that was at that particular time on the night of April 13th.
Well, we have a whole lot of suggestions for you. I'm going to make sure you get each copy of each email and fast blast that comes in. It give you a lot of leads to follow up on, but one might be the one. First-time caller Ben in Edwardsville, Illinois. Hi, Ben.
Hey, George. I'll get with this real fast. I'm in a busy area here, but I'm over the road trucker. I've been on the road for about 7 years, so I've seen thousands of big and small companies and logos and whatnot. I can narrow that down to a couple. What I'm pretty sure it is a Star Lease trailer. And unfortunately, unlike what you said at the beginning of the break, I don't feel it's a reefer trailer. I think the person was confused with the truck that was pulled over that did have the inspection door.
Oh, okay.
I feel like this was a dry box, which means a non-perishable hauler without a reefer unit. And unfortunately, if it is a Star Lease trailer, you might be dealing with an independent driver that doesn't have any type of satellite system or anything like that. I mean, that's horrible news for the case. I hope I'm wrong there. I looked at it on my cell phone. The other symbol, which I don't think it is, but it's kind of like that, is the Swift symbol. Now, if you're dealing with a Swift driver, that's probably the largest company in the country. And if you could get some photo analysis on that, you'd be real easily detect what driver and what trailer was hauling that night. But fortunately, I do think it's a Star Lease trailer. So I'll just leave it in that. Hopefully that's helpful, and I appreciate you taking my call. Thanks.
Well, Ben, it is helpful because I read that email about it being a reefer unit, and I think you're right that the emailer was referring to the truck in that image on the right and not the one on the left. It's the one on the left that we're most concerned about. Thank you, Ben, for that call. We're going to go up to the wild card line. You know what? I'm not sure. Do we have enough time, Dan? We'll make a quick one. Bob in Chicago. Bob, make it quick here before the break.
Thank you, George. I just want to bring up the fact that logo on the right rear corner, is that a logo that they checked out that with, it looks like yellow lettering on a black background?
Curtis?
All I see on ours, and the best enhancement we have, is it's some sort of a box. Whether or not that is something identifiable or what, in the lower right-hand corner.
Right.
Don't know what that is. I've had some people say that it's the caution, vehicle makes wide turns sign. Lots of potentials for that, but it's really what is that up in the upper left-hand corner? If you can identify that, that's what we're looking for.
Curtis, what about the Rotex driver on that truck? Did anybody check with Rotex to see maybe if perhaps that driver of that Rotex truck may perhaps remember seeing that truck pass by? I know it's been a long time.
Yeah, he was, nobody has, but I sincerely doubt he's going to remember, because what you don't see is that at the same time this image is taken, the highway patrolman is actually up at that Rotex driver's window conversing with the driver.
Okay.
So his attention is to the highway patrolman when this other rig goes by.
I see. Well, my heart goes out to this gentleman's family. It really does. I hope everything turns out all right. Thank you.
Hey, Bob, thank you very much. A lot of folks on the phones with their own ideas and questions. I'd like to raise the point about animal control, whether maybe if a dog had been separated from its owner and was killed and picked up by animal control, whether that would get onto the radar screen of Curtis and his team. We'll get into that and a lot more. I'm George Knapp in for George Norrie. This is Coast to Coast AM. Well, I really appreciate the response we're getting here. A lot of truckers in particular calling in, a lot of Coast to Coast listeners offering their ideas. It'll be a lot of different kinds of information that perhaps has not occurred to Curtis Cull and Jim Carnes. Jim Carnes, of course, his family going through anguish for months now, waiting for some kind of news about what happened to his father. Curtis Cull leading the team of lawmen up there in Humboldt County who are trying to resolve this mystery, worried that it might be a much bigger and much darker picture. And Coast to Coast listeners, as mentioned, coming through, trying to do their part. When we come back, we'll get right back to the phones and see what's on your mind, what ideas you have here on Coast to Coast AM. We're talking about missing persons and serial killers with Jim Carnes and Curtis Cull. I was wondering, Curtis, animal control, as Jim mentioned, his father and the dog, Lucky, were inseparable. If they, the dog was somehow separated, that harm came to the dog, would your searches have found the dog? And or if something had happened and he was dead by the side of the road, would animal control, would that get onto your radar screen somehow?
Yeah, actually, George, that was one of the very, very first things we did. In fact, the very afternoon that this all broke, we contacted the animal controls. The animal controls here in this part of the country are done per county. So we contacted the all the counties along Interstate 80. And then also the dog was licensed out of the Washoe County over in Reno Animal Control. And then Jim, on our suggestion, got a hold of them and let them know in case somebody called and said, "Hey, listen, you know, we found this, you know, this deceased dog, and here's the license number." And as of today, still nothing's happened with that. We actually had state highway workers work the fog lines all the way along Interstate 80, also looking for any evidence that Lucky might have been, you know, struck or wandering out in the sagebrush.
And Jim, for the sake of those who are not online, describe the dog. You had a funny description for Lucky.
Yeah, he originally I said he was a
coffee table.
Yeah, well, he definitely had a coffee table back, but he
coffee table with legs or something.
He's you know, probably 22 inches tall, and he's a shepherd face look, but Dad always shaved his head down to the nubs, down to the skin. It's just a great dog, and we've checked, like Curtis is saying, we've checked quite a few places, and he does have a chip.
Oh.
He's a pound dog, so he's got a chip, not a GPS chip, but a chip that they put in dogs when you get them from the pound.
Understood. All right, we're going to go back to the phones. A lot of people with want to talk to you guys. James in Ontario, Canada. Hi, James. Thanks for holding.
Hi. The truck that I'm looking at here looks like it's got a reg K in the top left corner. That looks like a logo for Kriska out of Mississauga, Ontario.
What is the name of the company again?
Kriska. Kriska.
And would Manitoba truck be coming down I-80 for some reason? Is that would be a regular route?
Yeah, according to the website here, they ship across the states. International freighting.
Curtis, you were looking for some kind of a K logo, weren't you? You suspected it might be a K.
Yeah, we've gotten a lot of phone calls. A lot of people think it's Knight Trucking, but if you actually see a Knight truck, that emblem just doesn't fit. I mean, a lot of the eyes that have looked at it in my office, it looks like the, you know, it's not that many letters because the door, like we said before, it's all captured to the left of those doors that open out, and then it looks to us like the letter or the logo kind of slopes off a little bit to your right. So it's really anybody's guess.
Well, I'm looking here on the website. They got a big K, and the rest of the lettering is in small, like normal lettering with the capital K.
Okay, and it's Kriska.
Kriska. Yep.
Okay.
All right, James. We appreciate that tip. We'll Curtis will check it out. Thanks very much. East of the Rockies, Joshua, who is trucking in Louisiana. Hi, Joshua.
Yes, sir. I'm 100% positive it's Panther Trucking. If you go to their website and look, the two sloping down are the Panther's legs in the logo, and it's only on the left-hand door that their logo's on. But in their logo, they have a picture of a panther in the word, and that's its legs coming down. So I'm 100% positive it is Panther Trucking.
And where Panther Trucking is, where are they based?
Oh, I'm not sure on where they're based. Where they're based, I was looking at possibly going to drive for them at one time, and I noticed the panther on it. The legs are hanging down, and its face is turning towards you. So that tip right above that leg on the right, it's the tip of its ear. And if you got access to the internet right now, pull up Panther Truck and it'll show the back of the truck and you'll be able to see what I'm talking about on that left-hand door, the Panther actually being there. So there's no doubt in my mind at all that that is Panther Truck.
Well, Joshua, thank you very much. I'm sure that Curtis is going to check that out as soon as he can after this program is over. Thanks very much for the tip. West of the Rockies, we have Anonymous in Montana.
Hi
Anonymous. Hi, how you doing?
Good. First, I wanted to just say that I, through the power of prayer and faith, that light be shed on this through Jesus Christ, and his will be done.
Well, I appreciate that sentiment.
Okay. Well, I just wanted to mention that I remember reading like 20 years ago in the late 80s, early 90s, I think in a Denver paper when I was down there one time, they were investigating bodies, people turning up missing and things going on in Wyoming on I-80 between, I guess, Cheyenne and the end of Wyoming toward Utah and stuff. So there was, I guess, things have been going on for a long time all across there.
You mean something similar was going on there 20 years ago?
Yeah, there was a newspaper story. I was just down in Denver to visit a friend and saw it in the paper that law enforcement was looking at strings of deaths or murders or people missing. I don't remember exactly what it said. I do remember because it just creeped me out so much. I've driven that I-80 stretch of Wyoming, and it's, it just sounds like, excuse me, like Nevada because it's so remote. I think the Red Desert is next to I-90, and the Wyoming state map, they said it's the largest unfenced area in 48 states out there.
Well, thanks for the suggestion. It's worth checking out. I mean, some of these serial killers, I mean, I guess it could, something like that, a cluster could move if the killer himself moved. And Curtis, is it an exaggeration to say that some of these guys could kill over long, long periods of time, even decades?
No, I've heard of those. I mean, there have been situations down south I've heard of that just that. I mean, many, many years, or they'll stop for a while and then resume.
First-time caller, Carol, in Gillette, Wyoming. Hi, Carol.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. Hey,
sure.
You've touched on this already, so I'll keep it short, but I do animal rescue, and I pick, our organization, if we see dogs on the highway dead, we try to see if they have a collar, and we'll get that and notify the owners. If a dog is just running loose somewhere and isn't supervised or something, we'll pick it up. Try to find out who it belongs to, you know, check for chips and things like this. But if somebody's going to abduct somebody and do harm to them, and then they're going to dump their dog, they're not going to leave an identifying collar on. So I was wondering if it would do any good to take a picture of this dog and post it on the Pet Finders, Montana Pets on the Net, the ones that list, and they list all the lost dogs. And then if anybody's found a dog anywhere along any highway anywhere, they post the dog, can post the dog's picture there. And then people looking for it can look on there and see if they can, you know, identify the dog.
I'm not looking at the Coast website right now, but I think the poster with Pat Carnes on it has a picture of Lucky the dog as well. But you're saying posted at animal sites as well, just the dog.
And we could take it off of there, I think, and put it on our animal sites because we have picked. I picked up a dog in Rapid City that was headed back to its home in Boulder, Colorado.
Well, Carol, if you can do that for us, we'd appreciate the help. I'm sure that Curtis and Jim would be forever in your debt if you'd be willing to take that job on.
I'd be glad to if I have the right to take that picture and put it on our sites.
Most definitely.
Jim? Yeah?
Please do.
Okay.
All right.
All righty.
Thanks,
will,
Carol.
And good luck to all of you. I hope this turns out well.
Thank you, Carol. Wildcard line, Dave, who is trucking in Missouri. Dave, how you doing?
Hey, how you doing?
Okay.
Hey, I was looking at that picture, and I ain't 100% positive like everybody else. But most trucking companies, they advertise on all three sides of the trailer because it's just free advertising. I thought to myself, well, maybe it's not a trucking company. Maybe it's a trailer leasing company, and that logo appears to be to me, the old-style logo that Aurora Trailer Leasing used to use. It was like somebody took a bucket of paint, just threw it up there, and then they wrote their name inside the little splashed-up bucket of paint there. And that's sort of what it looks like to me. idea.
Curtis, can you tell if it's painted the outside or if it's just metal?
No,
I'm sorry.
No, we can't tell. You said Aurora, sir?
Aurora, A-U-R-O-R-A. Changed their logo in the last year or two, but that appears to be the old-style logo that they used to have.
Okay, it is a good point, Dave. It is curious that there's no big advertising or something on the side of that truck. I guess, you know, there are, now that I've been looking for these kind of rigs, that there are others that are like that, but you would think a company would take advantage of it.
Well, most of them do, and most of the trailer leasing companies, they leave that they don't go to that expense there. And I don't know, it's just a thought. Maybe everybody's looking for a trucking company. It's not really a trucking company, but a lease trailer.
Okay, Dave, good idea. Thank you very much. We're going to Moondog in Dayton, Ohio on the wild card line. Hey, Moondog, how's it going?
Hey, George. You know, I drove a truck for 16 years, and I've been across I-80 and between Winnemucca, you know, and on that area. My heart goes out to the family of these people. When I was looking at that logo, okay, it's a white trailer. It's probably a lease trailer. Star is a very big lease of trailers. Star. Leasing, okay? You with me?
Yes.
Okay. I was looking at that. There's no logo on the side of that trailer. It's a white trailer, and that would be what Star Leasing has. If someone leased the trailer, when the guy said Panther, I just Googled Panther. That does not say Panther on it. That, to me, it says trucking. Okay, and it is not a reefer. It is a 53-foot dry van. He was the one gentleman was getting the one that was pulled over by the trooper. But the bottom right, the logo, that little square there, it says, you know, caution, this vehicle makes wide right turns or wide turns. Left side on the door, it's got a hazmat bracket for your placard. It has not got a placard in it. But Canada uses I-80 a lot from California to, you know, to go up to Winnemucca, or not Winnemucca, but all parts of Canada. I wish I could see it a little bit more clear. I'm really sure it's a white trailer, and if we could somehow search for different companies that's hiring and could figure out what companies that have trucking in their name, and I could be wrong with this, I pray that I'm not. Maybe we get some leads here. But
okay.
It's definitely not a Swift trailer. Swift trailer will have Swift on the side. Big bold letter saying Swift Transportation. It's like I say, it does look like a lease trailer that maybe a small company had put their logo on the back, their name. It's not a logo, it's a name. It's not a Panther either, okay? I just went and Googled Panther. It's not Panther Expedite. They're out of Seville, Ohio. Panther is out of Seville, Ohio. You can Google that. It's Panther Expediting.
Okay. Thank you for the input. Where were you calling from again?
I'm right here at the home of Wright Patterson Air Force Base, Dayton, Ohio. I talked to you before.
Oh, okay. You're right there in UFO country. Thanks for the call. I appreciate it. Wildcard line, Thomas in Denton, Texas. I've been to Denton. How you doing, Thomas?
I'm doing all right. I'm a truck driver as well. Did this happen in Utah or in Nevada?
Nevada.
Nevada? Well, there is a DOT station just outside of Elko. Is there any chance they might have checked with DOT? Because DOT usually got the cameras and a whole bunch of different stuff out there, like right there when you pass by the weigh stations.
Curtis?
They were not up and operational.
Oh, what about the one in Utah? Because if he was going east on 80, he'd still have to go through Utah, and the one right there in Utah, as soon as you cross the line.
Well, that's a thought. Curtis, yeah, you're definitely. Sort of working you're working across the country in chunks, aren't you?
Yeah, we really are. And more of this moves into Utah because one of the beliefs we have based upon things that we found with Pat's Subaru is we really believe that more than likely that he probably stopped in Wendover, which is right on the border with Utah, to probably get gas at that point. He was very fastidious about his trip and made notes about what to keep the gas tank at, miles between towns and what have you.
And you still have the vehicle. It was in good shape. It was in working order. It had fuel.
Yep. We still have it. No evidence of any struggle or anything taking place in Pat's car whatsoever.
Thomas, thank you for the call. East of the Rockies, another Tom in Orange, Connecticut. Hi, Tom.
Yeah, how you doing tonight?
Okay.
I was at the Railroad Pass Casino with my RV, and I was shooting crap by myself, and the dice went off the table, and this guy picks them up, and he says, if you throw those dice off, I don't know who this guy is. So I thought, okay, get away from this table. So I picked up my money and left. And lo and behold, I was parked at a truck stop, but next to a hotel, and I'm on the phone with my friend, and who comes up and says, you better move that thing. And I thought, same guy, the nutcase, and he had a blue cab with a white trailer. And I thought to myself, gee, what kind of nutcase is this? So the guy was about 40 to 50, but really a nutcase. I don't know what the guy's problem is. The other thing is I got a thing that says missing tail, blind one eye, and missing a leg or something like that. Answers to the name of Lucky. It's a plaque I picked up.
It's an old joke, right?
Yeah, anyways, and then also Kurt Russell did a movie about this this guy that was killing people and taking their belongings and stuff like that quite a while ago, about this errant trucker that did that sort of thing. So there are some crazy people out there. I had one guy that ran into my RV, and he hopped in and drove off, but I got his number and everything. So the insurance company paid me for the damage he did, but I'm sure he lost his license for that crazy move, So anyways...
Well, appreciate the call. There's a lot of folks still hanging on. I'd said we'd had open lines, and I'll keep my promise. But if, fellas, if you think it's worth your time, I sure would like you to stick around. We'll take calls on any subject, but if the audience is willing and you're willing, we'll just keep going and see what people say. Are you both okay for it? Or
absolutely, yes,
right.
Indeed.
Jim and Curtis, great, And you folks out there in coast-to-coast land, you're welcome to call in on any topic. I hope you would keep in mind these guys are struggling with an intense mystery. For Jim Carnes and his family, it's a moment of anguish. It's an extended period of anguish that they're dealing with this. And you might be one of the last hopes for having some kind of a satisfactory resolution to it. So I hope you'll hang on with me a little while. If you want to talk about something else, you can. But if you don't mind, we'd like to concentrate on this for a little while and see if we can solve this thing. Thanks for hanging in there for the first 2 hours. We'll go back to the phones in a bit. I'm George Knapp in for George Norrie. This is Coast to Coast AM, and Elvis takes us into the break.